The laws of God have not changed. That's the important thing. And so it is with our personal lives. God's word remains relevant today. In our changing situations, God is always the same. You know, I'm sure we can reflect on our lives through the years, and we can say God's word hasn't really changed. Our life and our aspirations and our emotions and so on are all, they may change, but they're all guided by the truths which come from God. Our changing health situations may quite often cause us to be despairing perhaps, but God is still the same. So that's the first point. God's word is constant. The second one is therefore related to that second, the last point I was making, is about what God is doing. God is not somebody who's God is not a God who's created the heavens and the earth and the laws and so on and just stood back and said, right, you know, let's just let it run. God actually interferes in the best possible sense of the word. God is a God who creates daily and wants to be involved. He's a creator who is eternal, but yet is concerned about the things that affect us individually daily. So he's a God and he's a source of comfort and protection. That's what we read in verses 92 going on to 95. God's word, his law, his commands preserve us, they protect us, they give us confidence in him. Therefore, if we have that confidence, then we feel more able to handle those tough situations we might face. The psalm is ascribed to David, as I mentioned earlier, and he wrestled with a lot of issues. It's really fascinating reading his story in the book of Samuel. Before he came to power, he was anointed for, just an ordinary person, living as a shepherd, youngest son, the least significant son, the one who ended up doing all the dirty work, I suppose. But he, from that point, he was anointed, picked by God, anointed by Samuel to become the next king. And from that moment onwards, life became difficult for him. He had enemies, and it was very, very difficult, very tough for him from that time. And even as a ruler, as he reigned, he had terrible times, some created by himself and others which were created, he had no control over. But he always went to God. He was always faithful. And that's the great thing about David, and his psalms show us that. You know, he's always willing to admit his mistakes. And one example is in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14. He says to the prophet Gad, "I am in deep distress. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But do not let me fall into human hands." He would rather accept God's punishment for the things he's done wrong than to fall into the hands of his enemies. So that's quite interesting. He always trusted God, even when he made mistakes, bad mistakes. And that confidence is no different from that expressed by Paul in Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verses 38 and 39. Paul has these wonderful words, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can't be more confident than that. There is the confidence coming through. And of course, we have that confidence in Christ, which David could only look forward to, but never actually knew. The psalmist finds peace and solace in God's word. He starts by recognizing that he must serve God. Verse 91. Then the grace of God breaks through. Then he delights in God's word. And verse 93 shows us that he does not forget God's ways and asks God for help, verse 94. His strategy is to hold on to God's word. He sought out God's precepts and ponders on God's statutes. We can learn from him and make time to absorb God's word, to get to know it, to memorize it, to reflect on it. That's the way to go, really, isn't it? Not just simply read it, but spend time with it. And make it apply. So ask those difficult questions, even if you don't, even when you disagree. And sometimes when we disagree, that's probably the best time, that challenge is the best time for us to really understand or work with it to understand what God is saying to us. Now, I've been teaching for many years. It's quite scary, actually. This summer it'll be 35 years since I started teaching. my students, engineering students, the subject is complex, like any subject, of course, and there's a lot of things that you teach, and there are the kind of two students who will then not really engaged on a day-to-day basis. It's more difficult now than it used to be in my time. You could just forget things and not turn up even. And then 3 weeks before the exams, you just close the doors and just shut yourself away from the world and study very hard and pass your exams. That's one way to do it. But the trouble is, we often say 3 or 4 weeks later, you've forgotten most of what you've studied. So what was the point of all of that? Yeah? At least modern education, for all its flaws, is very different. You get students to work with the knowledge. They do projects and other things. And so at the end of the day, they will know a lot more than my generation did, I say. So that's the positive about this. But that's the same with anything in life. You have to work with that information. To accept something is fine. I mean, I forget that expression, but they say, you know, you hear something and you remember 10% of it. You know, you write something down, you might remember 30%. I forget the exact figures. All the exact figures don't matter too much anyway. But you have to really do something, solve problems or work with it, experience it, then 90% of it remains with you. And that's the important thing, to be able to work with it. Apply it in different situations, and that's what we've got to do. But to start to do that, first of all, we need to know the word. We have to have read the Bible. We need to be able to recognize passages like the ones we've seen here and be able to, even in modern, it's easier now, of course, with Google and so on, but we should be able to get a phrase so we can go back and have a look to see where it is. That's a start. But if you can go one step further and memorize the words, that's even better, isn't it? When you're on your own and you have no access to technology, to be able to just reflect on the words is great. And then to apply it is even more powerful. It sounds like a lot of hard work, doesn't it, all this? But it doesn't have to be. It isn't hard work, in fact. And that's a great thing as well, because we're not doing this on our own. And I know from experience, and I know we all have experiences of God working in our lives. And when God works through His Holy Spirit, we are able to understand and take it on board. And again, coming back to my teaching experience, I mean, if I just throw a book at a student and say, just read all of this, you will not know where to start. You know, it doesn't make any sense, you know, because it's just confusing. The Bible's the same, it's just too big a book. But if you're guided through it, and the Holy Spirit is great, I mean, we have sessions like this, of course, but also the Holy Spirit will guide you to verses. And I found myself being led at times to certain verses. And that's the most powerful way to learn, isn't it? You're led to a verse, you read it, reflect on it, and look at how it's affecting that particular situation. And before long, you won't forget that verse. Not for a while anyway. And that's wonderful. So again, going back to Romans chapter 8, we have this one verse which just assures us of this. If Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. The Spirit of God working in our lives gives us that sense of confidence that we are made right with God. And that allows us to go on this journey of learning through the words of the Bible, the words of Scripture that we are pointed to. From the act of turning to Him, God gives us His Holy Spirit, which guides us into the promise of the Word. Then we will know the comfort and assurance of His protection in difficult times. So thirdly, God's Word reveals true perfection as we read in verse 96. David had received all of God's promises. Through the history of Israel, all of God's promises to the people of Israel were fulfilled. But human achievement has always been limited. We struggle to find that perfect world system. Our people have been trying for generations to find that perfect ideal world for themselves, that utopia. But we always end up in a mess. We simply don't seem to be able to solve our problems ourselves. One example, of course, is communism, isn't it? Karl Marx, as he defined it, I mean, to many people, it's extremely attractive. I remember as a student being, you know, persuaded or trying to be persuaded by people to say, this is the ideal, this is the ideal world system. Forget all the mistakes people making in the Soviet Union and so on, but if it all worked properly, communism will solve all the problems of the world. We'll all be happy, we'll all have all that we need and so on. That was the thinking. But we can see it didn't work, did it? The overthrow of the old order was very attractive. The communist system was established in what we know as the Soviet Union and, of course, China as well, of course, and many other parts of the world. But well before the end of the 20th century, it all collapsed. Communism doesn't really exist. Even the Chinese version is really a mix of capitalism and communism, isn't it? It's communism for convenience, I would say. So there's a lot of change. Communism hasn't worked. You know, and that was that great system which was going to transform the world. I don't know what it was like in the, none of us know what it was like in the early, in the 1918, 1920, so that sort of time when Russia was going through a great revolution and so on. But it must have been, seemed like the solution for the world's problems, for some people at least, but isn't. It's proved to be wrong. Human achievement, although this progress is always limited. We're always heading towards a better understanding of God. If we really honest about this, we're always going towards a better understanding of God, of what God has created. When we seek God, we seek a better understanding of God's perfect world. And we just have to accept that it's God's world, not a creation which is free of God. And what we get is a window into God's purpose for life as we understand him better. God's commandments are indeed boundless, like the universe he created. Belong to God and we move with his purpose. Experience his creation as he intended it to be, and know, and therefore know the peace that is inherent in his word. It isn't enough to know this in our minds, but to get to know scriptures and apply to our lives, we will need to be able to really experience it through our through allowing God to work through our individual lives and experiences. And then, hopefully, we'll be able to speak with the confidence that the psalmist has done in this passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the passage we've read today. And we just ask that you will enable us to come to you with confidence, seeking to ask to have those difficult questions answered by you. Help us, Lord, to trust you, and help us to invite your Holy Spirit into our lives so that we may be able to truly communicate with you. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.